Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. This morning's episode is entitled, The Shocking Behavior of the People of God in the House of God in the Last Days. I am going to be reading this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. This know also, Paul wrote, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, plural, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive. We read, silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate or cast away concerning the faith. They shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. And so let's get right into the passage, because some of the studies and the research that I have read substantiates the words of Paul at the time of writing. Of course, these words were prophetic, and so they look forward into the future. But let me say that the word prophecy, as used in the Word of God, means to foretell, as Paul is doing here, to foretell future events and also to tell forth. That is, there would be an immediate application of the Word of God for a specific time. And so this particular piece looks toward the end of the church age, or what we call the eschaton, the last days. And so Paul is writing to Timothy, who is pastor of the church at Ephesus, and he wants him to know what the times and the seasons will be like for the believing community during the last days. Now, this age, or Aion, A-I-O-N, according to the New Testament, will end with the church in apostasy, which means to stand off from, literally. And so Paul speaks of the apostasy in a very interesting manner. He states that individuals will not necessarily leave the visible church. They will stay. They will remain in the visible church. So it, as Paul is using the term, it does not mean that people will stop attending local churches. What it does mean, and this is what Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He writes in 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning at verse 3, he states, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day," speaking of the rise of the Antichrist, "shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." And so the falling away first that Paul speaks of is apostasia. Apostasia in the Greek means, refers to those who reject Christ. It literally means a standing away or placing oneself away. We have before the word, we have the what we call the alpha privative, that is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and so placed before the word apostasia, and so we have a term of negation. And so, it once again, it means placing oneself away. And so, the rise of the Antichrist will be preceded by this event, by this great apostasy of those who reject Christ. And so here we have it given to us in the scripture. And so back to 2 Timothy 3:1. So Paul writes in verse 1, "Know this also, that in the last days, perilous, phalatoi is the term that he uses here. Phalatoi, which means to let down or to reduce the strength. Difficult, dangerous, perilous times will come for the church." Now keep in mind that ecclesia refers to those who have been called out. Those who have been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Those who have been called to salvation. The old theology books used to refer to effectual calling. And we also had the doctrine of the final perseverance of the saints. Those grand, great, powerful doctrines that spoke of the power of God in the lives of the people of God. Once again, the final perseverance of the saints, the effectual calling of God, the kaleo, the call of God into the life of the individuals, and the individual knew within his heart because he had been she had been renewed by the power of the Spirit of God, that indeed their lives were made new. But a transition happened. There was an epistemological shift that occurred some 40 plus years ago, and the people of God were no longer being taught the doctrine. It was felt, mind you, it was felt by men that the people of God needed counseling that was tantamount to what the world called counseling. And so we have these radical individuals, on the one hand, that stated, "We will have counseling. We will give the people of God information that helps them to deal with the issues of living." And these individuals threw out the Word of God entirely. And then we have these individuals that said, "No, let's not have such a radical shift. Let's do a synthesis. We will read the Word of God to the teachings of men, to the doctrine of men. We are now on the other side of that perilous experiment. And so what has been created is shocking compromise of people who believe that their greatest, that their focus should be their problems, the problems of living, and that the wisdom of man is sufficient to meet their needs. This is an extraordinary precedent, and this experiment has proven to be disastrous. I remember long ago when I was attacked by individuals who believed that that their children could watch cartoons, cartoon vegetables, teach morality to their children. And they told me that they saw nothing wrong with us. And so they held to their position, and I held to mine. And so here, years and years later, the creators of that series said that the end result of their experiment was that they had taught people to be just moral pagans. Even some of those who brought in so-called Christian counseling have said to repented for their position and come back and now want to teach the all-sufficiency of the Word of God. They want to teach, proclaim once again, the all-sufficiency of Scripture. After all the damage that these individuals have done to the church, after the spiritual injury that they have introduced into the church, and now they want to come back and say that the Word of God is sufficient. Well, we have known all along, that the Word of God is sufficient. And so this false teaching has contributed dramatically to what is going on in the church today, a church that lacks identity, a church that has no spiritual, no moral impact on the culture. None whatsoever. The salt has lost its savor, and therefore, as Jesus said, is good for nothing but to be cast out. So Paul goes on to state that in verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, Paul is speaking to the professed, as it were, the professed believing community. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. In other words, narcissistic, self-interest, pathologic narcissism, extreme self-centeredness, and with an emphasis on ease and pleasant circumstances and concerns for self. The self is primary. In other words, idolatrous individuals. Now, I've been counseling a long time, and one of the things that I've never read in any counseling book, I've come across the term narcissism, but very little written on the power of narcissism, or some reference to narcissism as idolatry, because it is idolatry. And we read about idolatrous behavior or idolatrous concern for self and throughout the Old Testament. In Genesis 3, we see this doctrine with regard to the Adam and his wife. We see it with regard to Cain, who slaughtered his brother Abel. We see it rear its head within the family of Abram. We see this phenomenon in the life of the first king of Israel, whose name was Saul, who built a monument to himself, or to himself. We see this in one of the sons of David, who also led an insurrection or a coup against his father, and Absalom. We read also built a monument to himself. We read in the book of Daniel about King Nebuchadnezzar, who built this obelisk, this great obelisk, and placed it on the plains of Dura, and told individuals that they must fall down and worship it, or else lose their lives. It is throughout the Old Testament. It is throughout the Word of God. And so this very egregious doctrine will take center stage in the last days in the visible church. There's so much research to substantiate what is going on. Now, it is old knowledge that divorce within the church mirrors divorce without the church or divorce in the world. Church is no different. The doctrines, the beliefs, are a while back, I heard this, that this group of Christian women wanted to go, Christian women wanted to go to see Fifty Shades of Grey because it was their thinking that their bedrooms deserved this type of knowledge and awareness. You and I know how common this stuff is. So this is the works of the flesh, in other words. This is the works of the flesh. This is the psychology of the sarks. There's no spiritual growth. These are people who believe in both and. And therefore, their lives do not grow. And we are told to grow in grace. Peter tells us we're to grow in grace. It is a command. We're to grow in grace and in the epignosis, completed knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're to be persons concerned with understanding what the will of the Lord is. I rarely hear this. I rarely hear this language today. The language of deep spirituality has vanished. What I do hear are very superficial conversations about spirituality with no real depth at all. No real understanding, because people will not deal with their sin. They will not deal with undergo the radical surgery of dealing with sin in their lives. And so Paul told us that these days come, for men shall be, and state of being verb, shall be, and this little word of two letters is very important. Be. Be. Ben shall be. State of being. Lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Literally fond of silver, or fondness for silver, money. Now, I want you to see the flow of what Paul is stating here. So the foundation here is given, men should be lovers of their own selves. And from that preposition and from that foundation and from that platform flows these other behaviors, covetous, fondness for silver, boasters, that is, bragging about those things that one does not possess. See, here's this, the shallowness and emptiness of idolatrous narcissism. Covetous, boasters, that is, bragging about those things that one does not possess. Proud, one who is above others. Proud. People are proud of hair, proud of skin color, proud of bank account, proud of education, proud of position, proud of political power. Pride, we read in the book of Proverbs, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Literally, pride faces destruction. And a haughty spirit faces a fall, or a decided crash, literally. Blasphemer, and the term that's used here means to destroy the good names of others. Blaspheme, it means to slander God, and it means to slander persons. It is to use murderous speech. It is to murder another individual by one's egregious speaking actions. Murderous speech, for which Jesus said that we will give an account for every idle word. You will give an account for every idle word. This is why it is imperative to decide if one is going to live in the world or one is going to live for Christ. There is no gray continuum or continuum of gray. There is either or. And here's classic dualism. Either or, not both and. There is no synthesis. There is no imagined continuum. Either one is for Christ or one is against Christ. There is no middle ground. The apostasia will come. The apostasy will come. The apostasy is here, present tense. Blasphemers. Next, disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. Very interesting milieu in which we live. And the values of parents, the values that parents communicate to their children. And notice, disobedient to parents. This is a very serious offense in the Word of God. This is very serious. And so here we have in the Word of God a book that, an extraordinary book on parenting. Extraordinary. And the Ten Commandments, there are four of the commandments have to do with one's relationship with God. Six of the commandments have to do with one's relationship man qua man, or man to man. After the commands that have to do with God at the beginning with the man to man, or the ethical behavior between man and man, first one is honor your father and your mother. Honor in Hebrew means to take seriously one's father and mother. And that is a commandment with a blessing, that one might live long upon the earth. Disobedient to parents is serious. In the hierarchy of authority over an individual's life, there is God, then there are one's parents. Unthankful is the next word. Unthankful. You and I see this every day. Within the community of the narcissistic, there is this unthankful spirit. Well, how can one be thankful with the idolatry of self in place? You see, and these individuals are never serious counsel, biblical counsel, godly counsel, will make these persons aware of their true estate before God. See, truth therapy, I'm going to use that term, truth therapy has to do with understanding one's real estate, one's real condition before God. God wants us to deal decisively with sin. But that's not the only thing that God wants us to deal with. Sin is want or a lack of conformity to the character of God, whether it be an act, disposition, or state. Sin needs to miss the mark of divine holiness. The term sinner is an adjective, not a noun, but the term sinner means one who is devoted to sinful actions or behavior. Unthankful individuals do not appreciate what they have. They are under this they are under this desire. They have this raving, gnawing desire to have more and more and more. They are never satisfied. They, within their mind, within their neurons, there is nothing about thankfulness. It is always rapacity, being rapacious, having more and more and more. And the idolatrous heart is never satisfied because it does not rest in God. There is a God-shaped vacuum in our hearts that can only be filled by God. Atheism does not heal. Atheism further breaks down the character because it is, again, it is centered in self. Atheism is egregious narcissism imposed upon the universe. Show me the evidence for God. Well, the evidence is there. And atheists do not reject God because of the lack of evidence, but there is a refusal to accept the authority of God. It is a refusal to accept the authority of God over one's life. Next, Paul goes on, unholy. Here's another word which means to be wicked. And tomorrow's show, I will continue in this passage with the same topic. And so please tune in to the show. I appreciate you listening to the show. And please tell others about SoundHeart Radio. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and have a wonderful day. God bless you.